Illegally Deaf is a podcast about overcoming obstacles. I'm Danny Burnside, and just this year, I was diagnosed with severe hearing loss. Oh, did I mention I'm a professional Hollywood voice actor? Funny how that goes. I've made the decision to own my disability and interview remarkable guests who are thriving in light of being disabled. Welcome to the Illegally Deaf Podcast.
Hi, Danny.
I love your voice so much. I truly do.
I do too. I like your voice.
Well, thank you, but I love your voice even more than my voice, to be honest. You have such a killer voice. You really do.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Sylvia Buzanco. She is a shining example of optimism through adversity. And guys, when we were chatting about her coming on, I was just kind of saying how we're going to roll things. She said, you know what, Danny? This isn't my first rodeo. I love that confidence, Sylvia. That's exactly what we want from our guests. You know, this ain't my first rodeo. I'm ready to rock. So guys, Sylvia is totally blind. She has an incredible life story. She's very honest and open about this, so I'm going to let her tell the details. She was abandoned by her birth mother at the hospital. Mm-hmm. Her birth mother was mute and deaf, also suffered from paralysis of the left arm, also perhaps had syphilis in the hospital.
Yes.
Sylvia, this is a wild, wild story. Quick rewind, I want to just mention that Sylvia and I actually met when I was interviewing Sean Schmell. Sean's the voice of Goku for Dragon Ball Z. I was doing an interview show a couple years back. Not this program, it was more like a voiceover interview show. And Sylvia is a huge fan of Sean. And I just want to say, we were able to get Sylvia on stage chatting with Sean one-on-one. And I just want to mention how cool that was to see you guys interacting, Sylvia.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
Are you a big fan of anime and animation in general?
I am actually a big fan of animation.
What's your favorite animated program of all time?
Oh, that's a hard one. I have like so many. I love Rugrats.
Oh, I love Rugrats. Good choice.
That was like my childhood show back in the day.
Even just the theme song is so memorable, right? I'm sure we're both humming it, right? I'm sure all our listeners are humming that theme song right now.
Yeah.
You have an awesome voice, Sylvia. Sylvia shared with me, I think it was a YouTube sample of her singing Hallelujah, I believe it was. Sylvia, you have a great speaking voice. You also have a beautiful singing voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really do. You're a very talented individual. Can you take us back a little bit to where you were born? Where exactly was this, first of all, in the globe?
Actually, this was in Bolivia, South America. The city's name was Cochabamba.
What exactly happened in the hospital those first 2 weeks?
Well, of course, I was a baby. My birth mom had complications. Well, it was after she had me. She had chorea, and she actually tried to find me afterwards, but I was already discharged.
Oh, so she did try to come back and find you afterwards. I didn't know that detail.
Yeah, she did.
But what happened? They weren't able to tell her where you were just discharged to? They weren't able to release that information?
Well, they actually couldn't find her to tell her.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Your mom, your birth mom, your bio mom, was deaf and mute. Was your blindness, was that a hereditary thing, or was that due to the syphilis? Do you happen to know how you became blind at birth?
It was actually a probably from the syphilis because she had it. It was secondary. So that's probably how I got blind. I actually really don't know.
So after you were discharged from the hospital, what happened next?
Okay, so after I got discharged from the hospital, I was placed in an orphanage called Solomon Klein, which is also in Cochabamba.
And how long did you stay at that orphanage?
I actually don't know, but probably a year or two.
Was this an orphanage that specialized in folks with disabilities, or was this just a general population orphanage?
Actually, it's an orphanage that specialized in blindness.
Interesting. Okay. So then later, you ended up being adopted.
After I was placed in an orphanage, I placed in a foster family in Connecticut. And then after staying there for 9 months, I actually met my adopted mom in Connecticut. She came up to visit me a few times. And then my foster mom's parents actually lived in Cory, Pennsylvania. So I was there with them, visiting them. And then my mom, adopted mom, actually saw me and just wanted to adopt me.
I know you were very young, but to the best of your recollection, what was your first impression of your adoptive mom?
My adopted mom, I think she's very sweet. She was very caring. She knew that I suffered a lot, and she wanted to give me the best, you know, care possible.
Sounds like she's a pretty amazing woman herself.
She is. She really is.
Let me ask you this, though. The orphanage you said was in Bolivia, right?
Yes.
How did you end up going to Connecticut from Bolivia?
I was actually on a medical visa.
And then after you were adopted, you moved in with that family in Pennsylvania.
Yes, exactly.
You also mentioned that you've had 6 cornea transplants and 2 laser surgeries. How has that experience been? Was that a traumatic experience to go through those operations?
I don't think so. I thought it would help me gain my vision back. I do remember that one of my first cornea transplants I had in Connecticut actually was the one that helped me gain my vision back for a amount of years.
But then it eventually faded?
Yeah.
Would you consider to have a similar operation done again?
No, I think I finally accepted that this is who I am.
I think acceptance is a really beautiful word. I'm glad you said that. I wish I could think of the name of the film. That was just the name of a film that came out within the last 5 years. Maybe you know, Sylvia. And it's about a gentleman who was a drummer in a death metal band or a hard rock band, and he ended up going deaf. A big theme of that film is that he is considering getting a surgery done to try to reverse the deafness. And the deaf community is encouraging him that he doesn't need to get surgery because he's perfectly fine who he is. I think acceptance is a beautiful word.
It is. It really is.
I think myself, going through what I'm going through, acceptance has been a big thing. Rather than being fearful, I've just accepted it. Said, well, this is the diagnosis. Let's figure it out and move forward.
Right, exactly.
And do you have any desire now to recontact your bio mom?
I always, I keep going back and forth, like, if I want to try to find her again or not, because, again, I just accept what things are right now because I'm happy where I am with my adopted family. So I don't know.
Sylvia, let's talk a little bit about some challenges you've faced being blind. I want to specifically talk about bullying that you may have faced in school. Let's go back to elementary school, junior high, early high school. Did you face any amount of bullying due to being blind?
I actually faced a lot of bullying in middle school up to high school because that's when my vision was getting worse. In elementary school, it wasn't that bad because I had enough vision to participate with other peers.
How did that make you feel when you were facing that type of bullying?
I felt really down about myself and I just was very depressed and I didn't like being treated that way at all.
And how about as you've gotten older, has your viewpoint of the bullying changed? Have you come to any different thoughts about it?
To be honest, I'm still actually getting bullied online from other blind individuals.
Why is that?
I really don't know, and I wish I knew. But yeah, I've been facing bullying online as well.
See, this is wild, Sylvia, because an outsider might think that the community, let's just say the blind community, is very acceptive of one another and supportive. But you're here telling us that you're facing bullying even within that community.
Yes, that's right.
That's pretty interesting. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's very heartbreaking, but I guess not a lot of people are nice, and I wish everyone could be nice.
I guess people are people regardless of their disability, and there are awesome people and there are crappy people.
Exactly.
Let's talk about some social challenges being blind when you go out in public. Is that difficult? Mm-hmm. You know, let's just say you're going out to eat or you're going shopping. Or what kind of challenges do you face being blind just going out?
Sometimes I always wish I could drive and just, you know, drive anywhere I want. But that's pretty much the big challenge. I would love to drive, but I know I can't because I can't see. The other challenges I faced was in public with people like looking at me and asking questions, especially when I was younger. I was not ready to answer those questions.
And I'm sorry if I have this terminology wrong. Do you use a cane, like a seeing cane? I wish I knew the term for it and I apologize.
Yes, I do use a cane.
You find that to be fairly helpful?
Yes, I do. I really do. I always call it my friend.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was that a difficult learning curve, though, to figure it out when you first started using that?
I don't think so. When I was little, someone just gave me a really tiny cane and I just learned how to use it right away.
And what type of media do you like? You're a great writer. Do you like to read as well? What type of media do you enjoy consuming?
I love music. Music's like my big thing.
How'd you become such a great singer?
Well, I took singing lessons since I was 12 up until I graduated high school.
I was super impressed when I heard your singing voice, for real.
Thanks.
You've got a killer voice all around, singing and speaking.
Aw, thank you, Danny.
Do you face any challenges as far as accessibility goes in media?
Definitely reading pictures. I mean, if it has like captions on them, then yeah, I can read them with my screen reader on my phone.
Can you tell us what that screen reader is?
It's called VoiceOver, and what it does, it reads what is on the screen. Like if I'm reading a message, it will just read out loud what it's saying.
What is audio description?
Audio description is a track that blind people use whenever they're watching a movie or a TV show.
And what exactly does that provide to blind people?
It actually provides information of what's happening on the screen. Like someone is going to the kitchen or this person is fighting someone else.
So it's actually playing over the music and the dialogue tracks?
Yes.
Do you feel that accessibility in media is improving over the last couple of years?
Well, they need to add more audio description on other platforms.
Is audio description available on the internet as well? Like, let's just say YouTube, for example.
Sadly, it is not, and I wish it was.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would have thought that they would have gotten that ball rolling by now.
Yeah, I know. But I can tell you what services do have audio description.
Please.
Disney Plus, Netflix, Paramount Plus, Amazon Prime, and Peacock.
So these are all streaming platforms.
Yes, they are.
Is there audio description on network TV, NBC, CBS, ABC?
Yes, there is. However, you would have to press a specific button for it to be on TV.
Whereas on the streaming platforms, it's just you already set it on in your settings beforehand, and then anything you watch will have audio descriptions?
Yep.
Way more convenient.
Yes, it is.
Can you peel back the onion a little bit and let us know what challenges you may face as far as mental challenges go? Maybe slight depression or, you know, we all get down on our situation. You've been through a lot.
Well, after like I was abandoned or trying to navigate through my new lifestyle, I dealt with a lot of trauma because of being abandoned and separation anxiety and all that stuff.
I'm sure that still affects you to this day.
It does. It really does. Slowly working on it.
It's a process, isn't it?
It is. It is a very long process for me. And then the bullying didn't help much either.
For sure.
It also caused a lot of mental health challenges.
It really goes to show we never know what folks are going through. Like those people that were bullying you, they probably had no idea about the tragedy of being abandoned that you experienced.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of other friends who are blind, or are most of your friends, do they have their vision?
Well, to be honest, I actually don't have too many friends. I do have some friends that are blind and some friends that are sighted, but not a lot of friends.
Do you find that the friends who are blind understand you on a level that sighted friends are not able to understand you?
It depends, like because of the mental health challenges, I don't usually indulge what happened to me to a lot of people.
I think that's wise to a degree. You know, we have to be honest and open and vulnerable. We also have to protect ourselves, don't we?
Yes, exactly.
I think it's a case-by-case situation. We meet people that we know we can open ourselves up to, and others, I think right away we know, hey, this is not really someone I'm going to expose myself to.
Exactly.
By the way, I just remembered the name of that movie that I was talking about. It's called Sound of Metal. Does that ring a bell to you at all? Sound of Metal?
It doesn't, but I should check it out.
2019. You know, I'm going to check that out again because I did watch it, but I could barely hear it because I'm half deaf. I'm not even kidding, Sylvia.
Since you have the new hearing aids, you can.
Very true. As a matter of fact, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Sylvia. You are my first guest since I've had my hearing aids.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, very cool. I'm so glad you mentioned that because I wanted to mention that to our listeners too. I just picked up my hearing aids 4 days ago, guys. I've been wearing hearing aids for 4 days.
That's awesome.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I instantly am grateful to have them. I'm so happy that I have them. I'm reminded of sounds I haven't heard in a long time. For example, how loud the toilet is flushing. I'm not even kidding. It is loud. It's like, whoa, that's a lot louder than I remember it being. The refrigerator hum, even driving home from picking up the hearing aids. I literally had to turn my aids down 2 notches just driving home, Sylvia, because all the sounds of the car. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. The engine, I was on the freeway, the engine of my car, the cars whizzing by on my left and right. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard that some folks will bring their hearing aids down for the first month or so just for that adjustment period.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm grateful, Sylvia. Through this entire experience for me, I've made the choice to approach it head on. And I'm just grateful that this technology exists that can help amplify what hearing I have left.
Yeah. Like, I am grateful that the technology I have that helps me with, since I don't have vision, you know, that helps me what's on the screen or whatnot.
It's funny, Sylvia, because you and I are really similar, but we're dealing with separate difficulties.
Exactly.
But our experience is actually similar. We both have challenges, and we have to be inventive of how we're going to deal with those challenges.
Yeah.
My friend was asking me, will hearing aids restore your hearing? And I had to be very honest with him. There is no hearing aid that will restore your hearing. You're never going to go back to the hearing you had when you were 8 years old and had perfect hearing or whatever. That technology does not exist.
Yeah, right.
What it can do is it can amplify what hearing you have left. So the important thing for me now is to protect the hearing I have left.
Because I have to rely on my hearing.
Such a great point. I'm so glad you brought that up. You really have to rely on your senses that are functional.
Yes.
I think I was even doing that a little bit. Actually, one of my guests, John Watkiss from the John Watkiss episode, mentioned that he realized he was reading lips before he was aware of his hearing loss. I think I was doing the same thing, Sylvia. I catch myself now, even with the hearing aids, watching someone's mouth when I'm talking to them. So I think I was overcompensating with my vision because I couldn't hear well.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask, like, how were you able, you know, to understand people?
Well, I just faked it, but it's partially true. It is partially true. You kind of, it's an educated guess of what they're saying. It's like, well, based on the conversation we were having, I'm guessing this is what you just said, and I'll respond accordingly. The really difficult situations for me to hear were quiet, like library voice situations. Obviously the library, something like a doctor's office, anywhere where people are talking very quietly, that was incredibly difficult for me to hear. If folks were speaking at full voice, then I could hear them.
Speaking of that, I had some situations when people would come up to me and they'd be like talking so loud. I'm like, geez, I mean, I can hear. I just can't see. They like deliberately just talk to me so loud.
How funny. They realized you were blind and they started talking louder. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah. It is.
How do you want people to approach you, Sylvia?
When I want people to approach me is like, tell me, hey, I'm, you know, so-and-so, because sometimes I don't know who they are, like, or I ask, like, who are you? Or whenever someone knocks on my door, I'll be like, who is it? And then if I don't, like, get a response, then I don't answer the door.
And I'm sure this is individual by individual, but are you comfortable with folks asking about your condition, or do you prefer that they don't inquire?
When I was younger, I was like very nervous. I would tell them I don't want to talk about it. But now when I'm older, I'm actually not afraid to talk about my condition.
And I don't want you to get too detailed here, okay? But what about simple daily things? Oh, taking a shower, going to the bathroom, changing. Are those difficult things or have you just completely found ways to adapt?
I actually just found ways to adapt. Taking a shower, you know, using the restroom, those are easy. Finding clothes to wear, I have to, like, just figure out by touching the clothes. Like, okay, I should wear this since I can't see the colors.
What about going out to eat? Any challenges you face going out to a restaurant?
Well, probably reading the menus since I'm not sure if all restaurants have Braille menus.
Do you find that Braille menus are fairly common?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think they were that common. I've never been in that position, but I'm so glad to hear that they are.
I just wish they were out more in all restaurants instead of just a select few.
It's funny, becoming disabled myself, it really opens my eyes to how far we still have to go in society to make everything accessible for all folks facing disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't understand it until you become disabled yourself, or perhaps you're exactly. caring for an individual that is disabled.
And I'm actually blessed that I have a wonderful family that actually chose me to be part of their lives and dealt with a lot of trauma.
For sure. Do you like audiobooks?
I do. I love audiobooks.
Do you prefer listening to an audiobook or do you prefer reading Braille?
I prefer listening to audiobook because I love hearing the narrator's actual expression of the characters and just reading or listening about the stories.
What do you think about this current turn of events where a lot of audiobooks are now AI narrated? Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
So there's some fear. Oh, there's fear across all aspects of artistic life, but there's some fear that the audiobook industry will fall to AI narration.
Oh my gosh, that is a fear.
Matter of fact, as we speak, there are AI narrated books on Audible, Amazon Audible, right now. Yep.
Really? That I did not know.
I remember having conversations with my colleagues about this potential. This was about 2 to 3 years ago, Sylvia. And I remember some of the colleagues saying, well, you know, this is so far down the road that why are we even talking about it? And here we are with fully AI narrated books on Audible.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
So there's fear across the arts that AI will replace artists.
Oh no.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Look, I'm not anti-AI, but I am pro-artist. That's my stance. And for me, audiobook narration, telling stories, is perhaps the oldest art form of all time, right? You know, I mean, passing down stories from generation to generation. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that to a computer.
No, no, of course not.
And personally, although I'm biased, of course, I don't think a computer can tell a story as well as a real person with real feelings and real experiences and real emotion.
Actually, on that topic, audio description is actually turning into that now too. Recently, I downloaded actually a TV show that I grew up with. Didn't realize it was audio described, but it is audio described by a text-to-speech voice instead of an actual audio describer.
Could you hear any difference?
Yes, I actually can. The text-to-speech voice doesn't have any emotion to it. It's just very monotonic like this.
And you, Sylvia, are so supportive of artists.
Yes, I am.
Have you always loved art from a young age? I know you said you've been singing since you were a kid. Did you always love art?
Music, definitely. In fact, my dad actually introduced me to music.
Would you consider going to a play?
Oh my gosh.
So you've been to some live plays before?
Yes, I have.
See, that's really my true love, Sylvia, is theater.
Yeah, I love theater.
For me, theater is the actor's medium. Film and TV is great, but for my money, film and TV is a director's medium and an editor's medium. Theater is an actor's medium. And there's no cut or take two to bail you out, is there?
There isn't.
You are exposed on stage and you got to figure it out yourself. And also, there's something so communal about being at the theater. Yes, if you're on stage, you feel the audience and you take from the audience. Even being an audience member, you feel like you experience something together. It's a real communal feeling going to see a show.
Because you feel like you're in the actual play itself.
Every night at the theater is a different experience. And you can't say that about film or TV. It literally is the same experience, no matter how many times the show airs. It's the same edited experience. Whereas the theater, there are small differences between every single performance.
I actually was part of the Erie Playhouse here.
Awesome. Locally. What show did you do?
Well, I actually did a couple. I did Anne of Green Gables, and I did Joseph in the Mason Technicolor Dream.
Love it. Andrew Lloyd Webber. Hilarious.
Exactly. Yeah. And those were fun to do.
Sylvia, that is so cool that you've done theater as a blind person.
Yes.
Was this a blind production, or were you acting alongside actors with vision?
I was actually acting alongside other actors with bad vision.
I'm just so impressed that you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of additional challenges did you face? Like, you know, blocking the scene, kind of like, you know, where you're going to stand, how you're going to enter. What was the blocking of the scene a little more challenging because you're blind?
Yeah, like where to come out and then the body language, because I couldn't see like what everyone was doing. But I did have like a sighted assistant to help me.
Was the sighted assistant with you on stage?
Yes.
What would you say to someone who's listening to this show who's blind? They're very fearful about going about their day-to-day. Maybe they're you when you were in junior high. What would you say to encourage that person?
I would say that you're not alone. You have other ways to cope with your disability. You can do a lot of other things.
I think there's a lot of folks who, if they had been through what you've been through from birth on, would be wallowing in self-pity. And here you are doing live theater.
I wish I could do more of live theater, to be honest, because I really enjoyed it.
I think you got to get into voiceover with that voice.
Yeah, actually, that is my actual dream. I had that dream ever since I met Dion Kwan, that voiced Kimmy from the Rugrats in 2008.
Especially because you can sing, too. So that just totally assists you. I mean, if you're doing animation, you've got the voice for it and you can sing. So you're right there.
Yeah.
Well, Sylvia, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure chatting with you and get to know you a little deeper. I just think you are someone that our listeners can gain a lot from. And thank you so much for your time.
Of course, Danny. Thank you.
Guys, you can catch Sylvia on X, aka Twitter. It's SilBuzz213, SilBuzz213. Sylvia also introduced me to a really, really cool disability group on Facebook. It's a Facebook group called Disability Safe Haven. And actually, guys, I've joined the group based on Sylvia's recommendation, and it's fantastic. And Sylvia is very involved. So if you join Facebook group Disability Safe Haven, you will definitely run into the incredible Sylvia Bazzanco there. Sylvia, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Danny.